The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
Well, I was asked to come up here for a stewardship meditation. I felt led by the Lord to just share what He's been doing in my life this past while. So I just want to share with everyone what God's been doing in my life. And the Lord has been speaking to me, and I hope that through what He's been speaking to me, He might speak through you. So for a number of months now, I've really felt heavily that I have a lot of spiritual input in my life, which is good, but not a lot of spiritual output, which is not good. And I was praying last week, asking that God might show me something that I might be able to do for Him, something I can commit to long term, faithfully, and cultivate even daily. And I just was asking that God would show me something that I could do for Him, something I might work towards for His kingdom. And I felt the Lord leading me back to the basics, to preach to all nations, a very simple and a very important call. And for a while now, I've been intimidated to evangelize. And this feeling kind of started after I read a book about evangelism. And the author pointed out that there are critical things you must share in order for the gospel to be fully proclaimed. And so there's right things you have to share. And so I read the book. I condensed these things as much as I could. I wrote it out, what the gospel is, and I came up with about a 10-minute presentation of what the gospel is. You know, it was biblical and true, but it was 10 minutes long. And when I'm out preaching at the mall sometimes and the parks, sometimes I don't have 10 minutes. Sometimes I got 10 minutes. Sometimes I got 5 minutes. Sometimes I got 30 seconds. So I started questioning myself and wondering if I was doing something wrong or if I wasn't presenting the gospel truthfully. And I had a feeling maybe I was doing it wrong, and I wanted to honor God, not dishonor God, so I just kind of got, intimidated by what I was doing, so I just stopped evangelizing at all. And this feeling's just been growing in me that wasn't the right thing, that I kind of got this picture that I'm sitting on the bench of the big game and not playing, and the Lord was just saying, get off the bench. So I kept asking God how I might be used for His kingdom, and He's answered. And there's three things this last week that the Lord really used to speak to me, that I'm called to evangelize and preach the good news. And let me just share those with you real quick. So I was reading on this creation science website that they'd go to evolution events where they're, showing evolution footage and stuff, and they would give out creation DVDs, accounts of, biblical creation. And it was just really encouraging. And, the authors were saying, the work is huge. We got to stand up for the truth, and we just have to do it. The evolutionists don't wait for the calling or the right way to do it. They're out there doing the damage, and we just need to get out there too. So I thought that was encouraging. And the second was Heidi telling me about some old guy from Texas at a grocery store parking lot who said she had a nice smile. At first, I thought I was going to go have to hunt this guy down. But it turns out he was just a nice old guy. And he said Heidi had a nice smile. And people around here don't smile much. And just saying, how Pierce County is one of the least churched counties in the U.S. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said. So, people aren't very friendly around here. We're least churched people. So, that got me all fired up because this is our stinking county. We should go out and do something about that. And then the third thing, and the most powerful to me, was this last week at prayer meeting, or a couple weeks ago, Mike was telling a story about this old theologian. I don't remember his name, but somebody came up to him and said, "I don't like the way you evangelize. I just don't think it's right." And he said, "Well, how do you do it?" And they said, "Well, I don't really do it regularly, I guess." He said, "Well, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." So, something like that. That was encouraging to me. And it was just affirming all these things, or affirming that God's called me to preach the good news. And I'm telling you that you are called as well. We are all called to preach the good news. And so I asked the Lord how when I felt this call, because I want to do it right. I want to evangelize the right way. And I was led to use tracts, good old fashioned Bible tracts. And God has blessed these through believers all over the globe. They give me confidence. If I'm talking to somebody and I stumble or I mess up, I have something to fall back on, something they could read. And it gives the person that gets the tract something to read, which is important because Romans 10:17, faith comes through hearing through the word of Christ. They have something they can continually read and hear the word, and that is how faith comes. And then I can also give my information on it, so if they have questions or they want to talk or whatever. So it's just been an awesome process. And so here's a little tract I've come up with. Pretty fancy. It's from John Piper's website, 6 points, what the gospel is, you know, just basic stuff, how we're here for God's glory, not our own. And I've had to warn myself, too, that this doesn't get me off the hook for talking to people. I can't just go hand these out and think I'm done, you know, because talking to somebody establishes that personal connection, and, you know, it creates something more important than just a little piece of paper. The tracks are mostly there for future reference, and I've been blessed in this process. And through all this, I think the Lord has shown me why he has not laid out in the Bible certain method or model to follow for evangelizing. It doesn't say this, then that, and then boom, you just shared your faith. God doesn't do that. And I think the main reason God doesn't do that is so that we have to rely on him more when we're out evangelizing. Because sometimes when I'm out talking to people and they hand them this little flimsy, stupid piece of paper, you know, I can feel kind of dumb and wonder if I'm doing this right or if this is even an effective method. But you know what? God can use it, and he can use my foolish preaching. So it's made me realize that God is the one doing stuff. He could use what I'm doing, and it's made me rely on him, not my method. So I pray for him to do something, not on my method to be good. So that's been really, really good to learn through all this. And then now real quick, let me encourage you with the word to be a witness, because that's what I'm up here trying to do. So in John chapter 1, you know, verses 1 through 15-ish, you got this great description and powerful description of who Jesus is. And inserted among this almost awkwardly, but it's not awkwardly, it's there for the reason, but almost awkwardly, are these little tidbits about John the Baptist. So I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 and then skip 6 and 7 and read 8. So this is 4, 5, and 8. Listen to this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That flows very nicely. The thought and everything just flows right together. So why insert these verses 6 and 7 about John the Baptist? And again, I'm going to read verses 14 and 16. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So, I mean, there again, you got a nice flow of thought. Why insert verse 15 about John the Baptist, about him being the light, the witness to the light? This is why I think those verses are there. In verses 1 through 5, we see this great description of the deity of Christ. Jesus is God. That's what we get from those verses. And then verse 6, with John the Baptist, starts with, there was a man. So we see God contrasted with man. And I think the reason we did this is for God to show us that we humans have the privilege of witnessing about the light. God has established that people come to know him through witnesses. John the Baptist was a witness to light, and so are we. Every single one of us had the light come into us through a witness. Somebody told us about it. And, you know, usually light doesn't need a witness. I mean, if we're outside and there's lightning in the sky and we see it, we just saw the light. Somebody doesn't need to tell us we saw light. We know it. But God, in his infinite wisdom, for some reason has made it so us humans witness to people so that they could come to see the light. And that's a great privilege. And this is the goal of our witness. You know, this is really beautiful. So just think about this, and I think it'll encourage you to preach. I know it has to me. So John the Baptist's witness was pretty much this in John chapter 1. I am not the Christ. The Pharisees would come up to him and say, are you the Christ? I am not. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? I am not. So he was there to point people to Jesus, not to himself in any way. So listen to what he says in John 3, 27 through 30. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. So we preach to point people to the bridegroom, to Jesus Christ. And when the day comes when he's united with his bride, we will not begrudge all the attention turning to him in one bit. We will sit over in the corner during the big ceremony, look at Jesus Christ, and all the attention turned to him, and we will say our joy is complete. We are here with the bridegroom. We have pointed people to see the bridegroom as well, and it won't be about us. It'll be 100% about him, and that's what evangelism is all about. And I want to be obedient in this area. I want to be a good witness, and I hope maybe this has encouraged you to do the same. And we have many, many ways that we can be obedient. And in another way right now, we get to be obedient with our tithes and offerings to the Lord. So let's just be marked by a group of Christians who are obedient to the Lord in every way. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are God. You are our Savior, and that you sent Jesus Christ to die for us, that we might be with you again. Lord, he is the bridegroom, and we are his bride. And one day, Lord, we look forward to that day when we will be reunited with him, and our joy will be complete. And Lord, I just pray that we will understand our calling to be witnesses to the light, and that we will all count it a privilege to be able to share the good news, and that we will understand that it's not about us in the slightest. It is about you and pointing people to the light. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the offering today as well. Lord, may you use it to advance your kingdom all over the world. And may you bless the people who have given and been obedient. Lord, let us be marked by obedient followers of you in all ways. Lord, let us love you fully and always. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. We invite you to visit our website at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us. You can call us at 253-531-1672. Our mailing address is 3714 East 84th Street, Tacoma, Washington, 98446.